How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Oh, William, Jonathan, look. It's the vicar's wife. Yoo-hoo!
Oh, no, it's that bucket woman and the two odd bods that do that podcast about her.
Hello and welcome to a very special bonus episode of Keeping Up Appearances, the luxury podcast. This is an extra episode of the companion podcast for exploring the galaxy of Hyacinth Bouquet from the hit BBC sitcom Keeping Up Appearances. My name's Jonathan Vernon-Smith, and with me, within easy reach of my tasty homemade canapes, is William Hanson.
Hello, Jonathan and I are here for a second time this week because we love Hyacinth's world and we want to bring you more. As we reach the final series of Keeping Up Appearances, Jonathan and I thought we would start to discuss all those other extra bits we've seen of Hyacinth and her family to bring you the full bouquet.
So, until the end of this podcast, we'll be releasing a second weekly episode exploring even more of Hyacinth's quirks and eccentricities, from interviews and parodies to the episodes that never were. There's so much to discuss. So what will we be serving the bucketheads for the candlelit supper we'll call today's episode, William?
Well, we've got another cast interview, a very exciting cast interview. We have Marion Barron, who played, of course, as bucketheads will know, the vicar's wife. Marion was born in Nigeria, but grew up in Dumfries in Scotland. Not only have we seen her in Keeping Up Appearances, but she's also been in Don't Wait Up, The Bill, and more recently, Alan Partridge's This Time. Bucketheads, please welcome Marion Barron.
Oh, thank you.
Marion, welcome to the luxury Keeping Up Appearances studio. Oh, yes. Are you impressed?
I'm very impressed,
we
Jonathan.
We have the Royal Doulton and the hand-painted periwinkles on show for you.
There they are.
William's having an Elizabeth moment.
Be careful.
Yes. Oh, it's so lovely to meet
thrilled.
You. Thank you so much for coming in. We must ask you, first question. Mm-hmm. William introduced the fact that you were born and bred in Nigeria. And we were just wondering whether it was true that, because in one of the episodes in Keeping Up Appearances, Hyacinth and Richard, you may recall, they're driving the Rover because Richard has a fungal foot infection. And Hyacinth says he has to drive the car with no shoes on. And she says, don't worry, because in Nigeria, they also drive without shoes. Is that true? Do they?
Oh, I have no idea, Jonathan. I have to say, I was born in Nigeria, but I left before I was one.
Ah.
So I really have no recollection of shoeless or shoe-clad.
You were probably shoeless as a baby.
I think I probably was, but I wasn't driving.
No, no.
my feet, my legs were too short. Couldn't
yes.
Use the pedals.
Well, indeed. It's a thrill to meet you because we are huge Keeping Up Appearances fans and there are so many of us out there. Mm. So to hear you on the podcast is absolutely marvellous. Do you remember what it was like when you were first cast as the vicar's wife?
Yes, I do. Yes, I was very excited. I had done Don't Wait Up for Harold. That was the first thing I'd done. And then I kept in touch with him. Just every so often I'd drop him a card or I'd make a phone call. And it was completely by chance that I phoned and I said, "Oh, hello, Harold, it's Marion." And he said, "Oh, hello, Marion." He said, "I wondered if I'd be hearing from you." And I said, "Oh, why is that?" And he said, "Well, I've got a few small parts to cast in a new sitcom." And he said, "And I was thinking about you for a vicar's wife." And I thought, I don't see myself as a, you know, because traditionally the vicar was the old codger. And he said, "But I've got a very hunky
dishy
yes. for you." And I said, "Ooh, well, that sounds like very fun."
I'm in.
It's the cross you bore.
Yes.
Yeah. And dishy he was, wasn't he?
He Jeremy was Gittins. Lovely.
Oh, yes.
Dishy and a really nice bloke as well.
He's, well, we as you know, we've met him.
Yeah.
And he was lovely and we all adored him. So.
And he had lovely things to say about you, obviously. Uh-huh. And indeed all the cast.
Absolutely. So when you were first cast as the vicar's wife,
yes.
did they give you kind of much background in terms of what was expected of you in that role?
No.
So it was
really.
A clean page.
Yes, and to be honest, I mean, you could probably tell me, I don't know if I ever got a name.
No, you didn't.
You
no.
didn't.
No.
So it, I can't say it was a really well-developed character.
Mm.
And I don't know whether there's any, with hindsight, if there's anything I could have done to develop it more. I don't, because Harold and Roy Clark didn't see each other and didn't sort of communicate...
Or get on.
Well, you said it. I mean, you know, we just never saw Roy Clark. So I kind of pitched up and it was like going back to a family every year. Not just the cast, the crew as well. It was the same faces in the crew. And it was, it was lovely. But a friend said to me recently, he'd been watching it and he said, "Gosh, you didn't have much to work on, did you?"
Mm. And as an actor, do you find that easier or not? Is it that, oh, well, I can just sort of do what I like, I have carte blanche, or actually you do want a bit to go on?
I think when I did do my own things, they were usually, "Oh, no, Marion, don't do that." Mm. Not in a kind of, but just because I wasn't the focus.
Yeah.
Mm. And I quite understood that. I was part of a team. And to be honest, I was just jolly grateful to be in it at all.
Mm.
They wanted you. I mean, the character is very kind of Magnolia, isn't she, bless her? She's a very... I mean, her role really is just to answer the phone to that awful bucket woman.
And to tell her husband to keep away from the ladies.
Exactly.
Yes.
You know, that was my... And Luke kind of... cross if Rose hones into view.
Do you think they had quite a secure marriage? Let's do a bit of psychology.
Ooh,
the vicar's wife.
Yes,
yeah.
I think we did actually.
Mm. What should we call her? We should name her on this podcast. What do we think she would have been called? Maybe Joan?
Maybe Joan.
She was Joan, so Joan and Michael.
Well, Joan and Michael.
Yeah. Okay. What would you like to have called her?
Well, I always sort of thought of her as a Susan.
Susan.
I don't know why, but I'll go with Joan if you...
Yeah, yes. Susan works very well as well. Let's call
I like
her
Susan. Okay. Joan can be her middle name.
Yeah.
Susan Joan Vicar. Right.
Oh, Susan my God, Joan that's... Vicar. Yeah, SJV.
What's that?
The initials would be SJV and your JVS.
Oh.
Oh, my goodness. Oh,
that's tenuous.
That's
so, so there was you, Susan Joan, and Michael the vicar.
Mm.
And do you remember what it was like when you first met him?
Did you have, because sometimes you get sort of cast that have to come and do chemistry tests
there was nothing like that. I think we met on location in, what's it,
Bindley
Leamington,
Wood.
Leamington Spa,
yeah, okay.
I think it was. Probably on the coach after we'd had makeup done and we'd be sitting waiting for her. I think, I really can't remember.
Mm. And was it, your first episode was the second episode of series one. The pilot had been done. So it was obviously commissioned for that first series. And that series obviously hadn't gone out yet. So no. You didn't know whether people would respond to it.
No, absolutely not. No.
Can you remember when suddenly, was there a moment where once the series had gone out, where you suddenly went... Oh, hang on, people really like this.
Yeah, this is going to be big.
I think when people on the high street were sort of saying, was that you? So either people I knew, not friends, because they knew I was doing it, but people who'd sort of seen me around Putney would sort of look at me askance. And more and more people. And I mean, my parents' generation, they just, my mum was, she was so, she was so proud, bless her. And also, I mean, it had been out for a couple of years before this, and my husband and son and I went to Australia for Christmas. His father lived over there. And we went to Fremantle to do a little bit of shopping. And they were terribly friendly. And, we haven't seen you for a while. And I sort of thought, I've never been in Australia before. And I carried on sort of looking at whatever I was looking at. And it was Simon, my husband, who said to them, I think you maybe have seen her on Keeping Up Appearances. And they were just, I mean, they were just wild. And it kind of went down along the street that the vicar's wife was in the show. And it was wonderful. I mean, I thought...
Well, it's still huge in Australia. We get a lot of listeners to our podcast in Australia. They love it.
Well, hello, Australia.
Oh. Yes, good day.
G'day.
Shout out, good eye. Yes.
And obviously, you said you had worked with Harold Snowd before on Don't Wait Up. Had you worked with any of the other cast before?
No.
So they were all new faces.
Absolutely new faces. I remember Patricia came onto the coach and she said, oh, Harold, she said, you've got me two lovely young people for my cast. And that was me and Jeremy. So, So I thought,
And interesting that she said, my cast.
Well, I think she probably, she may well have said
I suspect she might have done,
And did you get on with everyone immediately? Was it, you know, love at first sight with the rest of the cast?
They were lovely. I was the least experienced, so was quite sort of in awe. Clive was great. Jeffrey was just super. Elizabeth, Joe Tewson, they were lovely.
It's interesting you mentioned Clive was great because there have been one or two things published. I don't know if you've ever seen that infamous interview that Clive did.
No.
Where it was clear that he was either in a very bad mood on that day or was very grumpy, but he was obviously not happy to be interviewed about anything to
Doctor
do.
Who.
That's right.
And about Doctor Who?
Yeah,
he was
very
grumpy.
Oh,
yeah. So, and when I read that, I thought, I hope he wasn't really like that. Was he a nice man?
I really liked him. I got on well with Clive. He loved his tennis. I think we had a game of tennis in Regent's Park once, the two of us. And I went and saw him in a show after, a theatre show. I liked him,
And how about Dame Patricia? How was she?
The whole show revolved around Patricia, obviously. And I was wary of her, but not because she was... ever unpleasant. I think she really liked Jeremy. They were both keen on cooking. Well, Jeremy on cooking, Patricia probably on eating. Might be wrong. No, I mean they'd go to the Ivy, not together.
Okay,
but you know, they had that sort of thing in common. Stop it. Cut. you know, she loved Jeremy. But she was the only time she was ever kind of snippy with me was the episode when we're in the rowing boats.
Oh yes.
Riparian Entertainment.
Yes.
That's right. And it was, I mean, I didn't have much, I didn't have anything to do. I just sat there and let Jeremy row me around. And it was very hot. It was a beautiful day. And after lunch, I took my tights off because I thought, but you can't see my legs. I'm in this rowing boat. And Patricia clocked this and said, she said, the vicar's wife isn't wearing any tights. I didn't know I didn't do that, but you know what I mean. No, she is. It's something in the contract that.
Right. Well, if anyway. Your legs aren't in shot, I don't think it matters.
Absolutely.
So did they make you put your tights back on?
No, it was. She didn't make a big thing about it.
It's
just
a little
noticed
comment.
It. Yes, and I don't know if I should have then.
Generational
off and,
comment, I would imagine. Yes.
That's. Do you know what though? That's quite nice because my late grandmother, who was a little bit like Hyacinthe Bouquet, she would make comments like that to my late mother. Things like, well, I don't suppose you have much time to clean, do you? And it's that wonderful passive-aggressive kind of comment. And, you've taken your tights off,
yes,
have you?
Yes.
Yes, my grandmother said to my mother once, who turned up at some family dinner wearing a very colourful, very pretty top that she looked great in. Uh-huh. But Granny, we're from Bristol originally, and there's an area of Bristol called Hartcliffe, which is up and coming. Mm-hmm. And Granny said to my mother, it was a very Hartcliffe top, and just walked away. And my mother was terribly upset because she thought she looked great in it, and still to this day can't. It's in the wardrobe, but she can't, can't go near
bring yourself
it.
To
it was 20 years ago.
But certain people, particularly certain women, have that kind of air where they will say comments like that, won't they? And they don't necessarily realise, or maybe they do realise the effect it has. Maybe they don't care.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it was, she just noticed I hadn't, and didn't think probably that the vicar's wife would be tightless.
Put your tights back on, vicar's wife. Susan
Jones.
But that was a nice episode, wasn't it? Where you were all carrying all of that equipment because you'd had that journey. Do you remember? You'd loaded the cars up with all of the picnic wear because Hyacinth comes out with that lovely line, Richard, do be careful of my custom-made plastic picnic wear. And you and the vicar, I think, are strapped. Wrapping some kind of table to the roof
onto the
of your
roof,
Peugeot.
Yes, yes.
Mm. And then you make your way off to the river.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like it goes on a lot. Do you remember where you filmed that?
Yes, it was near... we stayed in a hotel at Shillingford Bridge in near Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely hotel. We were there for a couple of nights. And I think it was the last... my memory is it was certainly for me, it was the last filming.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, as I say, a lovely hotel in the evening. We sat outside and reminisced and chatted and drank and,
So that was the last episode you appeared in?
I think so.
Maybe it was the tights.
That was it. Susan was going to be stratospheric after that.
Do not include Susan in any future episodes. She didn't have any tights on.
She's not her legs.
And one of the themes that we've picked up when we've spoken to Jeremy and to Judy Cornwell and now you is, and speaking to other people that were involved, is how much fun it seemed to be and how happy, really, compared to other projects that you all collectively may have worked on, was. Mm. Is that true? Was that your experience?
Well, for me, I mean, I dipped in very infrequently, but I really looked forward to it.
Mm.
And it was like going back to a family in the summer months for a few years. And as I say, not just the cast, the crew were just lovely, and I very happy memories.
Did you get on well with Judy, my sister Daisy, and Geoffrey Onslow?
Yes, I think so. I mean, I didn't...
I don't think Vicar's wife had... There was a couple of maybe scenes I think you did with them, but...
Yes, but even when we were on, on location, they would be more together. I sort of think I hung out with Jeremy most of the time.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I don't blame you. He's a lovely guy. Super guy. And of course, at that time, Dishy
Vicar.
Dishy, you were married to the Dishy Vicar.
Didn't realise how lucky I was, he.
No, quite.
And you mentioned earlier, there was obviously, and this has been well documented, Harold Snowd wrote a book. It was talked about in the Channel 5 documentary. There was some creative tension between... Mm. The writer and the producer-director. Did that filter through to you or any of the other cast?
Not to me. I mean, it probably did to Richard and...
I presume you all knew about it at the time.
Yeah, well, we did sort of... I wondered, why did we never see Roy Clark? Mm. It seemed a bit odd. And also, script changes. It would be Harold doing them and Patricia, which I thought, well, that's not... normal, is it?
No.
So she adapted some of the scripts herself as well?
I think they did. They would work on things, yes, which they didn't, she'd sort of say, well, Hyacinth would never do that.
Mm.
So she had sort of, she knew the character better than anyone.
But apparently Roy Clark has never watched an episode.
Really? Oh, I didn't know
Which seems so bizarre, because especially, I mean, even if it was not a success that it is, if I had created something...
Yeah, you'd be curious.
Although that
least,
might have been, it might have been a blessing in disguise, because had he watched the episodes, he might have realised how much had been changed.
Mm, maybe.
And then, of course, he might have refused to do any more.
Yes,
so
yes.
Who knows? But it's a shame that there was that creative tension.
And I have no idea what was at the root of that. Maybe you do.
No. I'm not sure we'll ever find out.
No.
I'm going to take a guess of pride. I don't know. Maybe he was just didn't want his scripts changed and thought that they were perfect as is.
Well,
but I mean, they didn't seem to. It seemed to have come from before that. It wasn't sort of, oh, they're changing my script. You know, I mean, I don't think they were
so historic. Because I've always got the feeling, where particularly with Roy Clark's writing, sometimes I find it's just a bit crackers. You know,
Last of the Summer
Wine. Yeah, it's just all a bit crackers. And you think, what's the storyline? What's it? You know, this is all so odd. And I sense in the Harold Snow book that he just found that very irritating. He couldn't bear it if storylines didn't make proper sense. So he would then feel he had to change it because it was all a bit ludicrous. And I think that irritated him, and maybe he communicated that to Roy Clark and he felt it was an attack on his work.
I mean, Harold was great, I have to say. He just knew. He was so right with getting on with it. There was no messing about.
And how did he produce? You know, when you were doing a scene, how did it work? Because you've brought in, and we are absolutely thrilled to see it, the one of the genuine little script books that you were given. So you've obviously got it on the page, the bare bones of it. But when you're then on location,
and that's, did you see?
Oh, you've got, and we've also got a lovely photo from Riparian Entertainment of, we've got from left to right, Daddy, my sister Violet, Rose, my sister Daisy, and Onslow sitting at the custom-made plastic picnic ware on a rug.
Oh, yes, with the Mercedes. My sister Violet's Mercedes in the background.
It's gorgeous. Oh, thank
no
you.
Pony.
No pony.
No room for a pony, no. But you were given the bare bones of it.
Yes.
But I presume when you turn up on location, you need a bit of guidance as to what's expected of you. Would he just let you have a go first?
Well, yes, he'd sort of set up the whole first shot would be set up, and he'd say, "Well, we'll have a run through," and you'd just say, "Right, you know, you're starting there, and come over and speak to, and the vicar will be here," and so we just sort of walk through it, and then he'd say, "Right, go for a take," and about the. Not being experienced, he frequently said to me, "Marion, you're bananaing."
You're what?
Bananaing.
What does banana
Which
mean?
Is where, right, so I've got to walk to William, but rather than walking to William, I'd sort of, for some reason, go,
Oh, so this was a particular Marion Barron term, was it?
I hope he spoke to other people bananaed, but I was, Marion, you're bananaing. Sorry, Arnold.
So what is interesting, based on what you have just been saying to us about Harold and Patricia maybe tweaked the script, I have just opened this one of these scripts that you have brought in of Riparian Entertainment, and there are a couple of notes. Presumably that's your handwriting.
Presumably it is. Yeah, oh yes.
Where certain, so if I read sort of the script as it had been typed, as opposed to annotated.
Do all the voices.
You'll enjoy it, Vicar. I'm so glad you can come. Oh, don't say anything. There's no need to thank me. You were one of the first on my invitation list. You'll enjoy an evening by the river. And this has been changed and annotated. And presumably, we'll have to go back and watch the episode. The, oh, don't say anything. There's no need to thank me, has been crossed out. And you were one of the first on my invitation list. You'll enjoy an elegant and leisurely evening by the river, has been put in.
I bet that's Harold Snowd. Harold Snowd has added the hyacinth,
the gloss.
Yeah.
And similarly, at the next page, the whole bit crossed out, Hyacinth bursts through and says to Richard, "Richard, the vicar's coming." He was so excited he could hardly get a word in. And then crossed down to Hyacinth saying, "Yes, of course he is. Can't wait. Sounded almost too excited to speak, bless him." And that's gone. So interesting. Just little tiny tweaks, whether that was for timing or for whatever. Yeah, so thank you so much for bringing this in. What a memento for you.
Was the Riverside Picnic your favourite scene you were in?
I thoroughly enjoyed that because it was like a holiday. You know, I'm just, as I say, Jeremy's getting hot and bothered working, and I'm just sort of sitting
whipping your
there.
Types off in the boat. Yes.
Yeah, they cut that scene actually. Susan and Michael on the river.
Bit of S&M, Susan and Michael.
Oh, no! No, it was John. It was John.
Oh, hang on. I'd better get that. It's bound to be someone very important.
We'll be back momentarily after Jonathan warns that caller that they're speaking to a white slimline telephone in the precincts of a clergyman's wife.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome back, Bucketheads. We're still joined by Marion Barron, who played the vicar's wife, who we now know is called Susan, in our favourite sitcom, Keeping Up Appearances.
Marion, thank you still for joining us. And look, you've got something tasty on your right hand.
Oh, yes. You mean Jonathan?
Yes.
Oh, no, you mean this.
Smoothie.
Yes, well, I'm rather vicar's wife-ish. I've made some little cookies.
You've made tea. Biscuits.
Yes.
Look, so, and brought in napkins.
Thank you.
Oh, lovely, Marion. thank you so much.
With the Royal Doulton.
You can have one. These are lovely. And what flavour?
Vanilla.
Vanilla. Oh,
very vanilla.
What was the what one's Hyacinth made?
Cotswold creams.
Oh, sorry. I should have thought.
No, they're a made-up thing.
Yes, we realise they're made-up. Mm. Cotswold cream. Oh, hang on, lovely. I'm going to try this.
Mm, that's very nice.
Mmm. Probably go better with a bit of
cup
liquid.
Of tea, yeah.
Well,
delicious.
Of course, we don't have a cup of tea, so we just now have a very dry mouth.
What was that?
Whose idea was this?
Oh, I don't know.
Vicar, why have you brought this woman round?
Right, having silenced that bit, now I can talk because I do have a cup of tea.
You do. You can do the rest of the episode.
Splutter. Oh. Anyway.
Oh, we have a laugh. My favourite, so we've talked about this before on this podcast, my favourite sort of bit with you is actually your entrance, your debut into Keeping Up Appearances.
Behind the door.
Where you're behind the door. And yes. Sort of, you get 30 seconds of the scene and you're not there. And then the door moves. And it's just so funny. It's so funny. And you're just so polite and, okay. It's just
That's
lovely.
The thing. I mean, I always feel with the vicar's wife, I always want to give her a hug.
Aww.
She's so sweet. And I just always feel a bit sorry for her. Because she's either having to answer the phone to the awful bucket woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or she's got this dishy husband that she's obviously worried about constantly being the, the attraction for many, many women in his clergy. Mm. You must have spent a lot of time at the church in Northampton because William and I went there on location.
Right.
Because we're weirdos.
Yes,
we did
First
a location.
First class oddballs.
Yes, we did a location tour.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
So we did Hyacinths, Onslow and Daisy's church, and we tried to penetrate Violet's country cottage, but they threw us out.
Did she really?
It is a private home, so
yes.
You know, we didn't.
We
climb
got
the
into
fence.
A drive.
Yeah, we rung the buzzer,
and she opened the gate, and we entered the drive.
Yes,
and then she threw us out.
I mean, we had a chat for a couple of minutes and then she threw us out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Whereas when we went to Onslow and Daisy's house.
Right.
And this was so lovely in the episode. And for any of our bucketheads who haven't heard that episode, go back and listen again. Mm. Because when we went to Onslow and Daisy's house, we were standing outside having a look.
Uh-huh.
And this lovely young lady came out.
Mm.
And she was a child who lived in the house when it was being filmed.
Oh, mm.
And she now lives next door, in the house next door to Onslow and Daisy's house. But her mum and dad still live in Onslow and Daisy's house.
Oh, interesting.
House. So she was able to talk about all of the cast and said how lovely everyone was. Uh-huh, and said, uh-huh. I think she was 8, wasn't she, when they were filming?
Yeah, yeah.
So right. she couldn't have been more welcoming.
But no, she was very nice.
My sister Violet's owner was not so happy.
Well, what do you expect?
They may have room for a pony, but not room for manners.
No. Oh,
there we go.
Very, very good.
And what about Hyacinth's house? Did you go... Yes, you went
we
there.
We went there.
We went there.
Yes.
And we delivered a...
donation check. To help yes. the heroes.
A check through the front door. But they didn't want us to knock.
No. We had written to them saying... Because it's still the same owner.
Right.
So we had written to them saying, hello, we're aware. You have given interviews in the past.
Uh-huh.
Can we just come and have a little chat? Anyway, for various reasons they said no. And we had offered to pay a donation to charity in exchange for their time.
Let us knock at your front door and we'll give money to help the heroes.
Anyway, we still donated to Help the Heroes anyway, because that was their chosen charity.
Yes.
But it's sort of slightly changed, the house. I don't know if you've seen it, but they've put an extension on the front, so it doesn't really look...
All the money they made.
Yeah.
Do you think they would have got paid quite a lot, the people who owned the houses?
Yes. For not nuisance, but inconvenience.
Yeah.
And yes, because...
A disturbance fee,
disturbance,
I think it's
yes.
Yeah.
When you were filming on location, for example, when you filmed at the church.
Yes.
How long would you be there for? Would it be a whole day?
Yes.
Right.
Yes. At least a day. But the vicarage wasn't in the same place as the church.
Oh.
So when the vicar's wife, there's one when she's had a phone call from the bucket woman, I think, and she goes to, and her husband's at the church.
Yes.
And there's another one when she's carrying a box of stuff and, to the church hall. But no, the one when she's going from the vicarage to the church hall, she sort of sets off at a run and is actually running for about 50 miles to get to the church. You know, they're in completely different places that you wouldn't know.
The magic of television.
Yeah, television.
Well, you've ruined it a bit for us, because we were when we went to the church, we went to the vicarage next door, assuming that was the one that you'd
used. Yes, I don't think it was.
Oh, no.
Oh well, you'll have to go.
I want to say, potentially, they used two. I think your vicarage might... I don't know, or that might be another sitcom that I'm getting confused with, but I know certain locations change. Obviously, well, in Keeping Up Appearances, certain cast members change with different roses.
Yes, you never know.
You were talking about when you went to Australia and you were recognised, even though they didn't really know who they were recognising.
No, that's right.
Do you ever get recognised now? Do you ever get anybody saying, were you the wife in...
No. There'll be people who, like a hairdresser, she said, you know, you look very familiar, but I don't know why. And I sort of said, well, maybe it's because, I mean, I don't look like I used to. Improved with age.
Of course.
Yeah, obviously.
Like a fine wine.
Yeah. That's right.
Like a fine Scottish
whiskey.
Don't
mind if I do. but no, people don't recognise me from it anymore.
Mm.
I mean, would you?
I would when you opened your mouth.
Yeah.
Because your voice is identical.
Oh, right. Okay. Uh-huh.
So you... And I'm actually, I quite often recognise people from their voice.
Right.
They've been... Many years ago, I used to work for Oddbins. In fact, in Putney.
All right.
Do you remember?
Yes. Well, no, I don't remember you working for Oddbins.
Right. But do you remember Oddbins?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I worked in Oddbins in Putney.
He was the one on the floor with the empty bottles around.
I normally spent quite a lot of time in the back office testing the samples.
Yeah.
And
someone's got to do it.
Exactly.
There was a man who came into the branch of Oddbins I worked in. And he came in a couple of times and I thought, I recognise this man's voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't work out where I recognised his voice. And I looked at his... He gave me his... it wasn't a debit card at the time. I think it was a... Do you remember the switch card?
One of those things.
He gave me his switch card. Uh-huh. And I looked and it said, David Hamilton.
Did he David
Hamilton was coming in to buy wine from me.
Who's that?
Radio 1
Radio
DJ?
1, Radio 2. Oh. David Hamilton...
No, but I'm just one or 2 years younger than Jonathan.
Right.
So...
Well, David Hamilton, but I recognise him from his voice,
right,
but not from his face.
No, no.
So there we go.
Obviously, you know, we've talked again when we talked to the cast. Keeping Up Appearances came to an end, sadly.
Yeah.
I think everyone expected it to go on for maybe just one or two more series more than it did, and we assume. We have not heard this direct from Dame Patricia. We have reached out to Dame Patricia for an interview, but she wanted to move on, do other things, and not be forever known as Hyacinth Bouquet. Can you remember how you heard, how you felt when it was coming to an end?
I can.
Mm.
And I don't know if this story's been told before.
Please go ahead.
Okay. Well, my memory of it was that there was a... it was very popular in Scandinavia, and there were people from either a magazine or some show in Norway or Sweden came along to rehearsals, and they were taking people out to interview them. So they spoke to Patricia and they spoke to Clive and probably Jeff and Judy, I don't remember, but Patricia went in and... came out, and the rest of the rehearsal was going on, and Clive went in and came out absolutely apoplectic with rage, because apparently Patricia had told them that this was the last series and nobody else knew.
Right.
So when Clive went in, they said, it was complete news to Clive.
Right.
And Harold didn't know.
Why would she have done that?
I don't know.
I would imagine it was very hurtful for the other members of the cast and very hurtful for Harold Snowd.
I think so.
And was the relationship from that moment on damaged?
It was, well, we had... I think the last thing, one I did, I remember, was when we went and had the singing barbecue.
Yes.
Old MacDonald.
Yes. Hee-ya, and it was there was a definite atmosphere.
Oh, really?
It was very, very hot that day, and you have to have the sort of sun light, the silver,
the reflector,
and it was just everyone was wilting,
Oh, that's such a shame.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because even if if she doesn't want to do it, that's fine. But there's a way to there's a process to letting people know and how they find out, and from a journalist, yet alone one from Scandinavia, not that that's any slight on Scandinavia, but that's just not the way.
No,
not the way to do it.
Feels like she's confided in very remote people.
Yeah,
and I think also because Harold was, I think, the last producer director on the staff.
Yeah,
at the BBC. So, and he was probably, I'm not sure, maybe sort of retirement age or getting on to retirement age. When that show finished, that
was it. And do you know if any conversation happened? Did he try and change her mind?
I have no idea. I wouldn't know. I'm sorry, I can't.
It's such a shame because in the Harold Snowd book, William and I are going to talk about some of the episodes in a later bonus episode, but Harold Snowd lists one or two of the episodes that never happened.
Right.
And some of them are so funny.
Cracking,
they would
they?
Have been fantastic.
Mm. And did they star the Vicar's Wife?
oh, yes, all of them.
Yeah.
It said in bold letters,
must
contain
Susan. Without tights.
I won't make it without Susan, with her tights off.
The Vicar's Wife moved in with Hyacinth for an
yes.
entire series.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that was
uh-huh.
one of them.
Yes, she was a lodger. Oh, it is a shame it came to an end, though,
yeah,
isn't it? Because
yeah.
Although we are obviously, all of us, delighted with what was made.
Mm.
And, you know, can we just take this opportunity to thank you? Because you were part of a show that means so much to William and to me and millions of people still around
uh-huh.
the world. So thank you.
Oh, well,
thank you very much.
Your part in that.
Well.
It was really special and it continues to be special. And whilst we're very grateful for everything that was made, it would have been lovely to have more.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think some sitcoms or any programs you see and you think, oh, why didn't they finish it? Mm. You know, it had just, it is flogging a dead horse now. But I think
there was definitely at least one more series, wasn't there?
And also, we'd only just met Sister Violet and Bruce, hadn't we?
Yes. They really came in series five.
Yeah.
Bruce was in one, I think, and that was.
There were a few Bruces, weren't there?
Oh, were there?
Mm.
Well, back of heads. There were quite a few back of heads in the early, which I think changed. Mm. I think even Harold might have been a back of head Bruce at one point. I have a feeling from his book, like the very first shot of Bruce.
Oh, right, okay.
I think might have been Harold.
We asked the question when Jeremy came in, whether you ever still get a little payment when they show an episode. And you do. He was saying still occasionally the old check comes through the front door. Lovely.
Well, it is. I mean, it is lovely.
All those years later.
Yeah. I mean, they're not massive, but they're better than nothing. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And do you still watch it at all?
When I see it's on, I look and see what episode it is. And the one I do like is in the church hall when it's Jeremy is doing that. There's certain young ladies. And I think that's the same one as Richard is fixing the electrics.
He's doing it.
He's very good with electrics.
Executive. Thing, so.
And then the vicar's wife is struggling with some a box of, I don't know, Christmas decorations or something, and she goes in and they're all hiding. We're not hiding. With three young, attractive young ladies. Oh. Yes, but we're not hiding.
It's fun.
Marion, it's been absolutely lovely meeting you. And thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.
Well, it's been lovely for me as well, and I didn't think the biscuits through.
No, the delicious.
We will finish them now. We're stopping talking.
Yeah, we're going to finish the whole box.
Yes,
yes.
But otherwise, we wouldn't be able to talk.
I do another podcast, and sometimes when we started that, we sort of had a little snack as we went, and people have very strong opinions on people eating on microphone. Okay. So
So that was knocked on the head. Then.
That was, sadly. But yes. Never mind. Thank you so much indeed, Marion.
You're
very welcome.
Well, that was lovely. We'll be back next week for a regular episode where we'll be discussing the fifth episode of Series 5 of Keeping Up Appearances, Skis. For now, goodbye, Bucketheads.
Goodbye.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Want to get a chiseled look in the jawline? Sculpt and shape your jawline with added volume from Juvederm Volux XC. Juvederm Volux XC is an injectable gel specifically designed to be robust enough to improve moderate to severe loss of jawline definition. And it is the first and only hyaluronic acid filler approved for the jawline. Add volume to your jawline for a chiseled look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you. Visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com.